All right, tonight we're going to get a little bit more into the intimate names of our God. And the idea of the first one is El Chul, what we're going to be talking about. Literally, it's talking about the God who gave you birth, the one who gives us life, another name for the Creator. So when we talk about this, and we're going to get into Abba later on, tonight, Lord willing, it's the idea of understanding the intimate relationship that we can have with Him. And so if you'd open your Bibles to Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, is where this name is given. And as we get over there, what's going on in Deuteronomy 32? What is happening? What is Deuteronomy 32? Song of Moses. So Moses goes through these interesting pieces that were going on, really praising God throughout this whole thing. He continues to talk about Him being the rock, and you certainly see that throughout this. But then you get into this part where there were some issues that came up. And in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter in verse 18, it says, "You neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth." Okay, so this is El Chul. This is where we get the name. If you look up Chul, there's a lot of different meanings for it. This word is used in the Hebrew language. It's used for a variety of various things. Okay, but this specifically, what we're talking about is the birth piece of it. The understanding that He is the absolute Creator. He is the one who gave you life, in essence. And so what do we learn from Deuteronomy 32 and verse 18? Why does He mention it this way? In other passages, you'll see in Jeremiah and Isaiah this idea of you're going to forget. A mother will forget her children before I forget you. God will never forget you. A bride will forget her wedding dress, which will never happen, before God would forget you. Okay? So you have these kind of things that are comparisons to it. What He says here is the opposite of it. How can you possibly forget the one who birthed you, if you will? How can you possibly forget the one who gave you life? How can you forget Him? He is the rock. He is the Father. How can you forget Him is the point that He's getting across here. Even though that you are the rock who begot us, we have forgotten you, God. And the understanding for us as we make application as we go forward is the same thing. Not only has God created us, not only, as we'll get into in a few minutes in Psalm 139, this idea of the creation, the design of us, He also gave us the opportunity for a spiritual birth. And the understanding of what comes with that as we get into the New Testament, the idea ultimately that people still forget Him. We potentially can forget Him. And the idea of Him giving us, in essence, birth is so powerful. And as obviously goes through, as I mentioned earlier, this idea of the rock, He is the foundation. How can you forget Him? How can you forget the one who is the creator of all things? And obviously they did. We certainly see in context here what happens when they do. But ultimately, they had the opportunity to repent, and so do we. So any other thoughts on Deuteronomy 32 before we continue? All right. So you get this idea when you get into Psalm 139. This beautiful psalm about David talking about, we've talked about before, specifically the idea that you cannot leave His presence. But if you continue on in this psalm, as many of us know, you kind of get into this neat part about the designer. And what he did and how this, from a poetic standpoint, David describes this. Can I get somebody to read verses 13 through 18 for me? Kevin, thank you.
Yes, sir.
beautiful. All right, well, what do we learn from El Chul? What do we learn about him, the one who gave us life here? Sean?
Verse 16 talks about all the days of our lives he's already decided. And then it was in chapter 6 where Jesus is telling us where we were.
Okay.
This passage, we learned God's already decided.
All right. All right. Anybody else? This intimate relationship that we can have with Yahweh, with Jehovah. The idea and the opportunity that we have to be his child. The fact that even those who do not believe in him are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the fact that we all have the opportunity to understand that this is not an accident. To understand how great the design is. And the understanding ultimately that there was a designer. And we have the opportunity to call him Father. We have the opportunity in the conversation we're having now, to understand that he gave us life. He is the creator. He is the one that we can have an intimate relationship with. And that's the importance of hopefully some of the words that we've been using, some of the names that we've been using, is that you start from way out. You have this the eternal one, the everlasting one, the all-powerful one, the mighty one, huge names. And now you start getting closer. Yes, he's the creator, but he created you specifically. You specifically are fearfully and wonderfully made. You specifically, he knows. You specifically, he has in the palm of his hand. There's the amazing piece of that as we go forward from this conversation, is the intimate relationship that he wants to have with you and that we have the opportunity to have with him. It's your choice how close you get to God. It's my choice. But the reality is he wants to have this relationship with you. And that is such a powerful thing if we take the time to think about it and take the time and the opportunity to dwell on it and to make sure that we're doing all we can to have it. Yeah.
I think when he says that we are woven in our mother's womb, reminds me that he just didn't assemble us like on a car assembly line where they just put the pieces together. He made us. He created us. He actually wove us in our mother's womb.
Yeah. It's such a neat thing. I just love in verse 14 that David will say, and my soul knows it very well. You know, it's this idea that we all, if we take the time to think about it, to that point, the design, that he knew what he was doing. I love the idea of it's not just an assembly line. We're all made differently from that standpoint. We're all the understanding of purpose and the fact that he knows we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's an amazing thing to realize that the one who not only gave us life is willing to allow us to call him Father. And that's such a, again, I cannot get past that perspective. Sean? And there was no ultrasound.
We don't know ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like when we think about it, the idea that you can look into the womb and you can see today from the ultrasound standpoint, now it's like 3D. That I don't know what it is, but it's just this amazing thing that we're able to do. You imagine for their standpoint, they knew they were with child. You know, they. But other than that, it was a secret. It was a mystery to everything that was happening. It's just awesome to consider that. However, they also knew because of God that there was a designer to it, that he was making them, as we've been talking about. And that's such an amazing thing as well. So you take that and you add it to it, the fact that from our technology we can actually watch it and you can see the growth and the amazing process that occurs in such a small amount of time. It might be a long time if you're with a child, I guess, but it's a relatively short amount of time as to what happens. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And it's all done by the wisdom and knowledge and the grace of the Almighty God. And it's just, again, we cannot get past. Even at the beginning of this chapter, this psalm talks about God from a little bit bigger picture, that he's omniscient, he's omnipotent, this idea of, and he's omnipresent, this idea of where he's everywhere, he knows everything, he's all powerful, all these different things. Everywhere I go, you're there. But now all of a sudden, he talks about, you know me myself. You know me. You knew me before my parents ever held me. You knew me. And it's just so awesome to consider that God, that one that we have the opportunity to have a relationship with. It's amazing. I mean, that. Hopefully that's what we're learning in these classes, okay? And hopefully it's causing us to understand what an honor it is to even be able to call his name. The other aspect of this is I appreciate why the Jews would never say his name once you start studying that piece of it. I mean, it is amazing to consider who he is. It's a privilege, though, that we have the opportunity to say his name. And it's an honor to be able to say his name. And it's the understanding of doing it with the proper respect as we talk about this. And the intimacy in which he wants to have a relationship with us is so awesome. And we just need to make sure we understand that reverence piece with all of this. This should be even more of what is man that you even consider us. And the fact that you not only were willing to save us, you're willing to adopt us. Which is just beyond comprehension for us, I think. Dwayne. Yeah, it's a fascinating thing when the scriptures, especially you read, whether it's and he was crucified or the fact that God says and it was good. Like when I say it's good, that's like 75% C in school. Like, whew, that's pretty good. When God says it's good, he created everything. Right? I mean, the understanding of his good compared to man's is just amazing. So to think about his wonder, the fact of all he's done, the perfection is truly awesome.
Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has made everything appropriate in his time. And with regards to individuals, we consider the number of billions and billions of individuals who walk the planet. And it raises the question, why me? Why here? Why now? It gets back to the point that you were making with regards to the relationship. God designs us in such a way that we can have a relationship with him of the creator of him. Consequently, out of that relationship, God gives us an opportunity for the rest of the world to see him work in us, to validate the very thing that he created from the beginning. I think it's amazing that he says he makes everything appropriate in his time, uniquely designed, perfectly designed, born at the perfect time, and it's our job to seek out
him. Yeah. I mean, it's just awesome. It's amazing. Psalm 139, you add Isaiah 43, Ecclesiastes. Isaiah 43 has a couple of the points that are made here that, I'm getting choked up because I know what they're going to say, but it's just awesome. And when you think about the opportunity here of what he's, I'll just read it. In verse 1 of Isaiah 43, but now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. But you think about just verse 1. Just verse 1. What does he tell us? Now, this is obviously for Israel, but it's no different for us. It's the same. What does he tell us? What does God know about you?
Our name.
He knows your name. He knows you. It's not like, oh, okay, you're that one guy that was happened to meet somewhere else. I've seen you before. I kind of recognize you. Have I met you? You're Scott Taylor. You go by your middle name. He knows who we are. He knows you. He knows me. The idea of he talks about here, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. That's exactly what we're told in the New Testament. You have been bought. I own you in essence. Do not fear. Do not fear. I know your name. Verse 2, if you underline verses, if you write down verses, this is a beautiful one to me. What does he tell us? What will El Chul do? Be with you no matter what. It doesn't say you're not going to go through the fire. It doesn't say you're not going to go through the river into the water. It does tell us he's going to be with us, though. It makes it very, very clear. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. I am Yahweh. And the understanding of that is so powerful. It wasn't enough that he just gave us life, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Is the fact that he also continues to be with us. He knows our name. I just love the idea that he knows the name that I am called because my parents chose that name. He knows your name. More importantly than that, he knows that you are a child of his. He knows. And it's so amazing to consider that. He can hold us in the palm of his hand, and not only all of us as a group, us as individuals. I can be going through the fire. You can be going through the fire at the exact same time. And guess what? Neither one of us are going to be burned. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, David would say. And it's the same for us. This is the one we can have a relationship with. This is the opportunity that we have, the one who fearfully and wonderfully created us. And that we can look at ourselves and understand and be in awe of what he has done. This is the one that we have the opportunity to have a relationship with. Any of your thoughts on El Chul? Okay.
Just thinking about him being our father, we talked in your references a little bit about how he adopts us back in, but the fact is that we are his children already. The fact is we leave the family, we go out, and he's going to bring us back in and adopts us in that sense, that so we can be family again. Kind of made me think of Jochebed in Exodus 2, where she has to give up Moses.
It is worth noting that Isaiah 43, we just read the first three. This is a beautiful chapter on this point. I mean, you just continue on verse 4. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you. That's, he's talking to us. He's talking to his people. Verse 7, everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Verse 11, I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. He is the one we have the opportunity to have a relationship with. He knows your name. Why? Because he gave you your name, in this case. You're his child. You're his. We belong to him. And the opportunity that we have to have a relationship with him, that yes, he's our Savior, but we have been bought. We are his. We are adopted from that standpoint. We are his children. And a great opportunity that we have of again, understanding who El Chul is. Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing to even consider that. And this is the Old Testament, right? This is the Old Testament, the part that we never don't see the intimate relationship with God is what people will talk about, which is 100% false. You see it time and time and time again, whether or not we read it and understand what he's saying. I mean, Isaiah 43 is like reading from the New Testament. It's like reading Galatians 4, which we'll get into in just a minute. It's just an amazing opportunity that we have to be adopted by him, the spiritual adoption, that we're able to call him Abba Father. When you get into the New Testament, the name Abba is going to be used. It is Aramaic. The Greek father that will follow is Pater. It's the normal name for a father. And so as we get into the New Testament, again, you just take the same understanding, ultimately, of what occurs with God. And his relationship with his people, and first and foremost, the relationship that he had with his son, Jesus Christ. And the first time that we see this name, or at least Abba Father, used together, is in Mark, the 14th chapter. You can imagine, obviously, you're getting to the end of the book if you want to figure out what is being said here. Of ultimately, our Savior is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he is praying, Mark gives us a little bit more information as to what is being said than some of the others to some degree. One of the parts that he tells us here in verse 36, Jesus praying says, Abba, Father, all things possible are possible for thee. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what thou wilt. What do we learn from the Savior use of the word Abba? What do we learn? Okay, absolute trust. What else?
I think there's a confidence element too that he is willing to ask him for something. He makes a request, obviously the qualifier, not my will, but yours, but still the ability that we can talk to him as our Father and ask him for something.
Yeah. There's an understanding of this word Abba for us, is that not everybody can call him Abba. Not everybody has that relationship to call him Abba. You do, I do, as his children. There's a pleasure, a distinct pleasure and honor to be able to call him Abba. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But in this point, it's so awesome to get a little glimpse into the relationship of the Father and Son here. Get a little glimpse in the relationship of Jesus Christ as he is on earth with his Father in heaven. And he wasn't just saying it this way for us to be able to read this later, though there's no question as the Son of God, this would have been on his mind that we're reading this. But it's just awesome to consider that as he has sweat like the drops of blood, what he calls his Father is Abba Father. You are my Father. You are the one I have an intimate relationship with. You are the one that I truly, absolutely know. And it's the same for you and I. We have the opportunity to call him, in essence, Abba, to call him Father. The difference is, sometimes, is whether or not we truly can say it as Jesus did. Now, Jesus obviously had a special relationship with him, of course. But for us, we have that same opportunity, as we'll see here in just a minute. But do we continue to build a relationship so that we have this type of relationship with our Father? Is a question that we all have to answer. It's a question we all have to consider. Because as you continue on, Romans 8 is not talking about Jesus saying this. It's talking about you saying this. It's talking about me saying this, saying Abba, Father, or the opportunity to say Abba, Father. In Romans, the 8th chapter, chapter 7 is about this bondage. You are stuck in this captivity of sin. You can't get out of it. I try to get out of it. I keep doing the very same thing that I hate. There's no way that I can get out of it. Nothing I can do. He ends by saying, Jesus came. Chapter 8 starts talking about how we get out of this bondage. He begins this idea that you have got to be filled with the Spirit. You have got to be filled with the Spirit. And the other thing that we have got to understand is that you are not just a servant, a slave. What do we have the opportunity to be called? His son. What's the difference? These aren't just words that we use. What's the difference? Somebody say something.
Everything.
Absolutely everything. A servant was not going to get the inheritance. The child is going to get the inheritance. We, as his children. A servant may have the opportunity to be saved by the master. But it is an amazing thing to consider that Jesus the Christ took our spot, not just to give us the opportunity for salvation, but that the great I am, the great judge, can say, now I'm going to adopt you. I'm going to take you into my family. He didn't just say, all right, hey, look, I gave you my son. He died for you. Go your merry way. Hope, good luck out there. He said, you're my son. You're my daughter. And you have the opportunity to have this relationship with him. You pick up in verse, we'll start in verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. I'm going to stop there for just a minute. You and I have this opportunity. When you obey the gospel, for me, it took a long time to even imagine this piece. I just got past the fact that I wasn't going to hell, is where I was. I'm not going to hell. Okay, good. As you can mature and as you grow, and you understand, and it just like light bulb moment of understanding, oh, I can be his child. Not only can I be his child, I can be his heir. Not only can I be his heir, I can be a fellow heir with Christ. This opportunity that you and I have to be his child, that we can use the most intimate word that they had in Aramaic to say Father, Abba. And that's what I'm allowed to call my father? That's the relationship I can have with him? That is an awesome thing. The importance is, as we go through this, is never forget that it's Abba, Father. We have an intimate relationship with him. You better never forget who he is, though. There's an importance of understanding that piece. You can be extremely close to the great I am. You better never forget he's the great I am, though. This is the understanding of the reverence part, the opportunity that we have to be his child. The hardest part sometimes is we're pendulum swingers. Either people will have this relationship that they think they can call him whenever they possibly want to call him and everything's fine and he's just my BFF and everything's great, which is crazy. And then there's other people, which I think I was at one time, where I was just trying not to to make him mad. And I was so scared that I was going to do something. And I was more afraid of his vengeance and wrath than worried about or even considering that he loved me. And there's a middle. He is the absolute I am. He is Yahweh. But Yahweh said, I want you to have a relationship with me. I want you to be my child. And if we understand both of those things and we can appreciate both of those things, then we begin to understand who he is and the opportunity that we have to have a relationship with him. It is extremely important, though, for us to understand both of those sides as we go through this and the opportunity that we have. Any other thoughts on that? I don't even know if I answered the question. I don't even know what the question was. No, Kathy. It's a difficult thing. We're not worthy. We're not worthy, except we're 100% worthy, because he said we're worthy. That's the difficulty. We are the prodigal son coming back and saying, just make me your servant. I'll just be happy just to be your servant. And he's saying, you're my son. You're my child. Get in here. Right? It's the understanding of that piece of the grace and mercy and the love that God has. There's a lot of people that struggle mightily with that part. I am not worthy to be his child. Well, no kidding. That's what grace is. That's the whole point of this book of understanding. If we were worthy, he wouldn't have had to send his son to die from that standpoint. We know we're not, except for he said we are. We are worthy for him to send his son to die because he loves us so much. Is that hard to understand? Of course. I don't even know if I made sense now. But it's the reality of that piece. Of understanding that both are true. We are worthy because he makes us worthy. But there's nothing that we can do to earn the salvation. It's solely by his grace and his mercy that we even have the opportunity to be called his child. Tyler. Yeah, and it's an important piece of this. We're really going to get into that in Galatians in just a minute, but it's the idea that all three of them are mentioned here, right? You have the Spirit, it's through Christ, it's in Christ, and it's the Father that are mentioned. This amazing relationship that we can have through all of them. Tomorrow morning, I have to get my classes straight. Tomorrow morning, we're studying the Holy Spirit, and it's Ephesians 1. That's the whole purpose of what he did from this perspective, is the idea to give us this opportunity. It's just awesome. Dwayne? Thank you. I don't know if he's talking to me or you, but I'm going to say thank you. I'll turn it before you remember them. Psych. Oh, okay. Galatians chapter 4. The three times that Abba Father is used together like this are the three that we're looking at. Mark, Romans, and now Galatians. So in context, Galatians is this idea that they were going back to the Old Testament, and there was this difficulty that were trying to get, there was a group of people that were trying to get them to go back, and the hardest part, or the sad part is, some of the church were going back. They were listening to false teaching, and they were starting to go back, and he gets on them for this and tries to explain it to them. And in Galatians, the fourth chapter, he really brings up this idea of Ishmael and Isaac, where you have a choice to make. Are you a servant, or are you a son, is the question. Okay. So in Galatians, the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 4, it says, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. And because you are sons of God, in verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through Christ. Let's stop there. Again, if you underline verses, verse 7 is just awesome. You are no longer a slave. Matter of fact, Romans will tell us that you're a slave to sin. Right? It's the idea of being under that bondage that we're freed from. And not only freed, we're made a child of His. A child of His. That we have the opportunity to call Him Father. There's a lot of conversation around the name Abba. And the hardest part for me sometimes is we miss the absolute point. That we even have the opportunity to call Him that. It's an amazing opportunity that we have. I like this quote, so I'll put it up. And maybe I'll read it. Abba expresses the intimacy of the family relationship as one would expect from an unhesitating trust and dependence from child who is wholly secure in the loving arms of their father, thus prompting and crying out of dearest father. Noting that Abba meant something like daddy, but with a more reverent touch than when we use it, the best rendering is dearest father. Hopefully that makes sense to what he's saying. This is not just somebody that you call father, though that's what the word is. It is my dear father. It is my dearest father. He wants to have a relationship with us and the understanding of what that means. There are people that can use the term daddy and mean it in a reverent manner. That doesn't necessarily mean that's always going to be taken. So you have to think about those types of things. But Abba Father is the opportunity again for you and I to have a relationship with this one. And they even have the opportunity. It's amazing to even call Him Father. Right? It's even amazing just to consider that piece of it. But the reality for you and I is that we have the opportunity to call Him Dearest Father, Abba Father. I have an intimate relationship with this Father. 2 Corinthians the 6th chapter, verse 18, talks about the father. Pater is in the Greek. But he says, I'm going to be your father, you're going to be my sons, and you're going to be my daughters. That is awesome. You are going to be my daughter, you are going to be my son, I am going to be your father. It's a relationship that we can have with Him. Galatians, the 3rd chapter, leading up to what we just read, in verse 26 and 20 through 29, is this idea that we have the opportunity to be His children. For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, verse 26 says. And as was brought up, because Kathy is this smart to know what I was going to talk about, the Father's love, or as we call it, the prodigal son. There is no greater illustration, as far as I'm concerned, from a story or from a parable or from a chapter that you can go and read than a prodigal son and what he was willing to do for his son. That he was willing to accept him back, not as a servant, but to show his absolute love for him. And it's the same thing that our Father does for us. And he gives us that same opportunity to come back, willing to forgive us of all the horrible things that we have done, and to give us the opportunity to call him Father. Any other thoughts or comments before the bell rings? I flew through the last part. None? Oh, sorry, Shannon. You gotta be taller. I gotta. That's a great point. There's some conversations about that the name Abba is a sound that a baby will make very early on. And so it's sort of like when Tyler was talking about Yahweh and the breathing. Sounds like the breathing. It's the same. This is where they get the name Abba from. But it's the same thing. I love the idea when Jesus talks about you have to become like little children and do not make these little children and cause these little children to stumble. The fact that we are his children and the understanding he's going to take care of us. What are we getting to Sunday? El Shaddai, I think. Yep. All right. Thank you.